Good morning. Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. It's great to see everybody this morning. I hope you had a wonderful week. If you're visiting with us, the last few weeks we've been talking about the Ten Commandments. How it's in the Bible. We follow it. We live according to it. Even in the New Testament. Amen? They are not the Ten Opinions. They are the Ten Commandments. God expects us to obey His Word. If I were to ask you this morning, upon serious reflection, what is the most valuable thing you have in your house? I'm not talking about your family. What is the most valuable thing you own in your house or in your room? If it's not the Word of God, you're in trouble. This is eternal. Whatever it is that you got in that home or in some secret bank account or some, you know, safe deposit box, that stuff is going to perish. Even more so, when you and I leave this earth, you're not going to take it with you. Are you with me? This is the most important thing we have. And I think too many times, living in America and living in the West, we don't understand what we have in our midst. We take it for granted that God gave us His Word because He loves us and He cares about us. This is our spiritual GPS, so to speak. The Bible says we are not of this world. This is what is going to guide you and I back to Almighty God. Amen? There is nothing else that can do it. If anything, Satan wants us not to spend time in this, to be so busy with life that we don't have time to read it or get into it, let alone obey it. And that's what the fourth commandment talks about, and that's what we're going to be discussing this morning. And that's what we're going to read at this time. Exodus chapter 20, beginning verse 8. God says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Amen. We're talking about the fourth commandment today. The first thing you will notice is the longest one of all the ten. Are you with me? When God says take the time to use extra words, believe me, those words are there for a reason. He's not just filling up space because He has nothing to say. He says, keep the Sabbath holy. Now you say, well, do we still follow the Sabbath today? Yes, but it's a different day. We'll talk about that in a little while. Are you with me? It says 6 days you are to labor. And then on the Sabbath day, you are to rest. I don't know about you. I love weekends. Back in the first century, back in the Old Testament times, they had one day of rest. Now we got two. Saturday and Sunday. Some countries, believe it or not, they got three. Where they would work extra hours Monday through Thursday, and they take Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off. I can see you guys say, oh, let's do that in America. But why is it that God wants us to take time out to rest and to worship Him? Because you know what? We're human. The body needs time to rest. March Madness is going on right now. And, you know, the game is going on. And what happens when the team is not playing well? The coach calls a timeout. Say, get over here. Timeout is a nice way of saying, get over here. You guys are messing up. You blew your assignment. You're not playing defense. That's not what we drew up. And you use that time to regroup. Same thing, spiritually speaking. That's what Sabbath is all about. That's why God designed this. Now the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, was from sundown Friday night to sundown on Saturday. Okay? It was Friday night when the sun went down to when the sun went down on Saturday. That was their Sabbath. And the Sabbath literally means to cease from activity. You see, this commandment affects our use of time. Satan wants us busy. Satan does not want us to take time to rest and to worship God. Are you with me? And God saw it fit to put it in his law and say, you know what? I want you to take a day off. A day just to worship me and to do nothing. Now, for us in the New Testament, Sunday is our Sabbath, and like I said, we'll talk about that in a second. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Guys, this is the highlight of my week. It is. I love Sunday church. I love that we can come together as God's children and worship God together. These guys do a fantastic job helping us sing and get in tune with what we're doing. Then we hear God's word taught. We get a chance to fellowship with one another. Okay, I don't do this email stuff. Email is good for sending out mass information. I want to have face-to-face contact. Amen? Now, praise God for cell phones, and that's okay too, but I'd rather have face-to-face contact. I want to see you. I want to see how you're feeling. This is the highlight. Their Sabbath was their highlight. And they would go to the temple. They would go to the synagogue. And gather and worship God. Amen? It was awesome. We still get to do it today. That's exciting to me. Look in Exodus 31. Let me show you something real quick. God took the time to write all this stuff down for us. In Exodus chapter 31, in verse 12, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come. So you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. It wasn't just a day of rest. It wasn't just a day to go worship God. It was a covenant. That was one of the things that set the Israelites apart from all the other nations. The covenant of circumcision was another one. The observance of Sabbath was another one. Because no other nation had this going between them and their God. Are you with me? It showed that special relationship that we have with God. It showed that they were set apart from other nations. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Old Testament, there's actually a sabbatical system in there. You know, every once in a while you hear like a lecturer or a professor is on sabbatical. You know, when they're taking maybe a year off or a semester off. Okay? Sometimes you also hear ministers taking sabbaticals. Come to think about it, I'm talking to my elders. I haven't had a sabbatical in 23 years. Okay? So maybe I need one. I'm just kidding. But that's where that word comes from. To see some activity. But you see, they had a whole system. The first one that we just read is the weekly Sabbath. Okay? Where on Saturday they would gather. What actually started, like I said, sundown on Friday night. Are you with me? Now there's an annual Sabbath. It was 1 year in seven during which the land was to rest from being cultivated. And that's the reference. In Exodus chapter 23 verses 10 to 11. Remember, back then, they didn't have any scots and all these fertilizers that you and I have today. And so they will cultivate their land. And God says, every seventh year, don't cultivate anything. In other words, allow the land to recover. And they had to obey it. Now, the final one was the Jubilee Sabbath. This is where it was observed once every 50 years, where there was freedom given to the slaves. If you owed anybody any money, you have to cancel that debt by law, by God's law. Okay? I'm sure borrowing went up in like a year 47, 48, 49. I'm just saying. That's what I would do. If I know it's going to be canceled next year, hey, can I borrow a few bucks? Because whether you like it or not, in the 50th year, you have to cancel that debt. Okay? I'm sure they were thinking it. Okay, now, canceling of debts, and also you have to return any land to the rightful owners. You know, sometimes when you borrow money, they would use their land as collateral. But in the 50th year, in the Jubilee Sabbath, you have to return that land to that person, even if they hadn't paid back the money. Okay? Now, the interesting thing is this. Today, you know, some of us have heard of Seventh-day Adventists. In other words, they worship on Saturday. Okay? Now, my question is, how come they are not doing this too? If you're going to follow the law, follow the whole thing. We're going to talk again why we don't worship any longer on Saturday. And our Sabbath is now Sunday, so to speak. Okay? But you see, there were three. This one we are very familiar with, but there are two others. And again, that's the reference. You can look at, I mean, that's a long passage. Leviticus 25, 8 to 55. You can read it in your spare time. Amen? But again, on the Sabbath, it was meant to be a day of rest. Now look in Psalm 92. When Psalms, did you know there was a psalm for the Sabbath? We've been looking at the book of Psalms the last several weeks. Psalm 92. It says a song for the Sabbath day. You see, back in Old Testament times, they would sing this. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord. How profound your thoughts. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. And it goes on. They would sing this on the Sabbath day as they gather to worship God. Are you with me? Just like we have songs that we sing. Some of them are contemporary. Some of them were written back during the Restoration Movement. But you see, they would sing this on the Sabbath. Their Sabbath. Are you with me? But you see, the Bible was very clear that it was supposed to be a day of rest and a day just to worship God. Now, there were certain things that were prohibited from doing. There was to be no work done by man or animal. Exodus 20, verse 10. No food was to be gathered or prepared. And all the women said, amen to that. In other words, whatever it is you're going to eat on Saturday, you better prepare it before the sun went down on Friday. Again, remember back then, they didn't have any microwave ovens. Okay, I think that was one of the most, for me personally, nicest things that have been, you know, invented in the last several years. I love the microwave. I still remember trying to warm up food and, you know, put it on the stove and, you know, it takes a while. Now you just pop that thing, you got a minute, poof, it pumps out, man, now we're talking. Okay? But you have to prepare your food because you couldn't cook on Saturday according to the law. You would notice even today in our world, most people don't cook on Sunday. Most people don't. If you left here this afternoon and you walked into an average restaurant, it's packed. Because what do people do? They go from church to some restaurant. They go from church to Golden Corral or somewhere. You know? I know some of you like Golden Corral. All you can eat. Knock yourself out. Pay one flat price. You know, you probably have lunch there and then there's no need for dinner. Hopefully that's what happens. But a lot of people don't cook on Sundays. But that's okay. But they were not allowed to do it. You couldn't kindle a fire on Sunday. Remember, there were no stoves. There were no gas stoves or electrical stoves. You had to gather the wood and do the fire to cook. They couldn't do it by law. No fuel could be gathered for the fire. And then I love this one. No buying or selling. There are a lot of countries that still observe this. I mean, stores are closed, even on Sunday. You can't go to the mall. You want to buy something? You better buy it Saturday, because Sunday everything is closed. A lot of countries that I've lived in and I've been to still observe this last one. As a matter of fact, I remember growing up, my grandmother had a kiosk. It was like a wooden little shed, and she had all this, you know, like fast food stuff in there. But on Sundays, it was closed. And initially, believe it or not, she didn't close it. We would go to church and come back, and she would go open it up. And then an uncle of mine, who was a minister, you know, sat her down. I remember overhearing that argument. That store needs to be closed. And she obeyed, and she stopped opening it from then on. Again, following this model. But they were not allowed to do these things. Today, as we speak, all these stores are open. Some people can't go to church because they're working. Some of you, when we leave this place, you're going to work. Now, I believe that's fine. You've already worshipped your God. Are you with me? You can't say, well, sorry, I was out working, that's why I couldn't worship God. Now we got a problem. Because you're putting your work before the Lord. And that cannot be. Are you with me? But see, they were prohibited from doing these things. Now, Jesus was accused of not following the Sabbath. All right? Several times in the scriptures, in the Gospels, he was accused of breaking the Sabbath. But that's not true, because Jesus observed the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, one of the most famous stories that we know of is in Luke chapter 4. The Bible says, as was his custom, he went into the synagogue. And then on this particular day, he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And the Bible says, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." And so on. And then at the end, he goes, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What a moment. He was observing the Sabbath. He was always in the synagogue. Like I said, they accused him of breaking the Sabbath, which wasn't true. Now, the amazing thing was, the rabbis, who were the religious leaders back then, they had 39 different categories of forbidden acts on the Sabbath. 39. It was very detailed. Planting, plowing, I'm just mentioning some, reaping, gathering, sorting, grinding, cooking, baking, kneading, writing, building, igniting a fire, saving a human life, and so on. They had 39 different categories. What Jesus broke was one of those. One of the man-made rules. Are you listening to me? Because you and I know Jesus never sinned. According to scripture, he says, "I did not come to set aside the law. I came to fulfill it." Amen? So when they accused Jesus of breaking the law, he was breaking one of their different 39 categories that they had set up. I mean, it's amazing. The Jews even had it down to the point where you could only take a certain number of steps on the Sabbath. And I said, wait a second. How about the guy that's living far away from the synagogue? Now, he's got problems. If the law says, for instance, you can't take more than 100 steps for it to constitute work, how are you going to get to the synagogue if it's down the road? I don't know. That's just the way I figure things out. But they had all these rules that they set up. But Jesus obeyed the Sabbath. Jesus followed the Sabbath. If anything, he taught several things. Jesus taught these things were permitted on the Sabbath. And again, because of time, I'm not going to read them. Acts of necessity. Some things were necessary that you had to do on the Sabbath. Matthew 12, verses 3 to 4. Acts of service to God. You find that in Matthew chapter 5, verses, what did I say? That's a typo. 5 to 6, all right? Preachers make mistakes too. That's verses 5 to 6, I'm sorry. Number 3, acts of mercy. You were also permitted that on the Sabbath. Matthew 12, verses 7 to 8. And then also acts of kindness. Matthew chapter 12, verse 9 to 13. I mean, a guy has been beaten up by robbers and he's there bleeding. Sorry, I can't take care of you. I'm going to disobey the Sabbath. I'll wait till sundown on Saturday, then I'll take you to the doctor. That's ridiculous. That's an emergency. You got to take action. I think the example Jesus used was, what if you had a sheep that fell into some kind of pit? Are you going to let it sit there for a couple of days? You're going to get in there and get that thing out. Are you with me? So Jesus taught that these things were okay on the Sabbath. But you see, when Jesus rose from the dead, everything changed. Okay? And that's where we come in. You see, after Jesus' resurrection, the day of worship changed for God's people. And here's one of the verses, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It says, on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, we came together to break bread, that is, participate in communion. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept talking until midnight. I think we need to try that one of these days. I didn't get a lot of participation on that one. Where we just come to church and we spend the entire day here. That's what happened here. Now, obviously, Paul was going around preaching, and on this particular occasion, he was going to be leaving, so he said, you know what? I got to keep preaching. This was the incident where a young man fell asleep. Instead of listening, he was sitting in the window and he fell down and he died. And Paul had to go raise him from the dead and brought him back upstairs. That actually happened. But you see, they met on the first day of the week after Jesus rose from the dead. They no longer observed the Sabbath. Sabbath changed from Saturday to Sunday in the New Testament. Are you with me? And so when people say, well, do we still observe the Sabbath today? Yes, it's just a different day. Are you with me? The only thing that's not repeated in the New Testament is the command that you and I worship God and rest on Saturday. Because all those laws, all those regulations, Jesus nailed it to the cross. That's what the book of Galatians talks about. All that stuff. All the ceremony and the sacrifices, Jesus nailed it to the cross. Are you with me? That's why we no longer observe our Sabbath on Saturday. We now do it on Sunday. Here's another verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. It says, now about the collection of the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of the week, again that's Sunday, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. Saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. We just did it a few minutes ago. We took about our offering. Are you with me? Okay. But you see, the point there I'm making is that they met on the first day of the week. Our Sabbath has changed. It's no longer Saturday. So again, hear me out. We're still observing the Sabbath. It's just a different day for us. Are you with me? Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. This is the Apostle John speaking. He says, on the Lord's day, I was in the spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. And he goes on. On this particular day, it was on Sunday that he got that vision when he wrote down the entire book of Revelation. He tells us, he says, on the Lord's day. You see, Sunday morning, we're about to, you know, celebrate in a few weeks here. Jesus rose on Sunday morning. And it changed everything for the early church. The resurrection took place on Sunday morning. Are you with me? And, you know, scholars argue, you know, why did they change the date? I think that's the reason they changed it. Because, you know, they thought they lost him Friday night. Sunday morning after the Sabbath, they went to anoint his body, and the tomb was empty. Amen? Jesus rose on Sunday morning. And we don't have any particular passage that says, well, this is why they changed it, but that's what a lot of scholars believe. And that's good enough for me. And it's been like that for centuries. Even some of the early church fathers wrote about it in terms of when the Christians met. That they met on Sunday. If you look in the Epistle of Barnabas, around AD 120, Justin Martyr, AD 140, Clement of Alexandria, AD 194. They all talk about it. That Sunday now became the day the church gathered. And they went away from the custom of going to the synagogue on Saturdays. Are you with me? I don't know if all this stuff is making sense to you. Everything in the Bible makes sense. A lot of times we just got to look in and dig deeper. There's a reason for everything that's inside this book. Okay? Again, like I said, God wasn't just trying to fill pages. There's a reason for every instruction. God wants us to rest. But Satan wants us busy. So that we don't have time for the Lord. Just constantly working, constantly working, constantly working. And God says, time out. Now again, in the New Testament, it just can't be, okay, I come to church on Sunday, I worship God on Sunday, and then the rest of the week I can do whatever it is I want. Oh no. We're living sacrifices now, Romans chapter 12. We're called to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is our spiritual act of worship. That is 7 days to me. So don't think, oh yeah, Sunday morning, check. I can do whatever it is I want the rest of the week. You got it all backwards. If anything, I believe the standard is higher for us. Where every day we're conscious about God. Again, Danny started talking about this early. It's incredible to me that you and I have this book. That we can read it on a daily basis. We can read it several times a day. We got to make the time, though, to get into it. Satan doesn't want you to get into this. And I say this to the campus students a lot of times. Brothers and sisters, this is our final examination. If you flunk this exam, number one, you're not going to get a chance to do it all over again. Okay? No do-overs. No makeovers. Okay? I know you students like makeovers. Judgment, one shot. How are you going to pass the exam if you're not living your life according to this? It's an open book examination. Just read it, understand it, and put it into practice. Amen? Again, you cannot practice what you don't know. You say, I'm very busy. Then you're too busy. And it's going to cost you your eternal life. It's not worth it. And so we got to make the time to get into this. Because God gave it to us because He loves us. He cares about us. This is what's going to guide you and I back to heaven. And I think because we live in a country where you can pick it up and you can do whatever it is you want, you know, we take it for granted. I'm sure you've been watching the news the last several days. This tragedy in Japan. You know what breaks my heart about all that stuff? Do you realize that most Japanese do not believe in God? All those people that died, they had no faith. They didn't believe in Jehovah. That's what breaks my heart. That's what I see. We got a lot of work to do. I mean, it's amazing that we have this book and we don't take the time to read it. I'm talking on a daily basis. I don't know about you. This was going to get me back to heaven. This is what got me into the kingdom of God. This is what has kept me in the kingdom of God. Because I'm passing this exam. Satan is going to have to go find somebody else to flunk. Because I'm passing this exam. That's all that keeps me going. I want to pass this exam, and I want many people to pass this exam. Are you with me? See, that's where the motivation comes from, to want to get into the Bible with somebody. Because they think they're on the right path. They think they're on the right road, but they're not. I'm not doubting their sincerity. I'm not doubting their love for God. But I'm questioning, are they living their lives according to this? And it's very obvious. You can see it. You can tell. Amen? Church, do we appreciate what we've got? Really? I want to close out this morning with a video. God is amazing the way He works. Alan Rouse sent this to me earlier this week. And obviously I was going to be talking about this today. Danny has already talked about Psalm 119 this morning about the Word of God. Believe me, we don't sit down and, oh yeah, you do this, you do this, you do this. The Holy Spirit does His work. But I want you to see a people who just got a chance to get a copy of their own New Testament in their language. And see their reaction. And I hope it will convict you. And it will also encourage you to take care of what God has blessed you with. These are the Kenyan people from Papua New Guinea in the Pacific.
I want to thank everyone for being here today. Definitely thank our visitors. And I pray so much that we're really inspired not only through the sermon, but just that video, to really get into the Bible and to treat it as precious, because it is a precious word of God, and we want to be able to pass that final exam, amen? Let us pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you, God, so much for your kindness. Thank you so much, God, for loving us the way that you do. Thank you so much for setting up the times and places where we'll be today and that we'll be here today. I pray so much, God, we won't take for granted anything that you've given us. I pray so much that we will treasure the Bible as the most important thing in our homes, that we will study it, we will read it, we will understand it, and that, God, we will do our best to follow it. I pray so much, God, that each and every one of us will be an example of a Christian, of a disciple, and that we will live our lives according to the way that you want us to live our lives. Please be with us today, and I pray so much, God, that we will just live our lives the rest of this week in a manner and the way that you would want us to. Thank you so much once again for it all. Thank you so much for Jesus dying on the cross. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.